It belongs directly to social justice to ensure respect for the rights of the human person. To distributive justice, it belongs to safeguard the rights of the individual or citizen. Principles governing economic reform. In his Motu Proprio, Fin Dalla Prima, December 18, 1903, Pope Pius X collected the rules of Christian action traced out by Pope Leo XIII in his encyclicals. I shall here quote those dealing with economics, utilizing the English Catholic Truth Society's translation. Quote, 1. Human society as God established it is composed of unequal elements, just as the members of the human body are unequal. To make them all equal is impossible and would be the destruction of society itself. 2. The equality of the different members of society consists solely in this, that all men come from the hand of their Creator, that they have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, that they will be judged, rewarded, or punished by God according to the exact measure of their merits and of their demerits. 3. Consequently, it is conformable to the order established by God that in human society there should be princes and subjects, masters and men, rich and poor, learned and ignorant, nobles and plebeians, who, united by the bond of love, should help one another to attain their final end in heaven and their material and moral well-being on earth. 4. With regard to the goods of the earth, man has not only, like the animals, the use of them, but also the right of permanent ownership, and this not only with reference to those goods which are consumed in being used, but also with reference to others. 5. Private property is an indisputable natural right, whether it be the fruit of labor or industry, or the transfer or gift on the part of another, and each one may reasonably dispose of it at will. 6. To calm the strife between rich and poor, it is necessary to distinguish between justice and charity. Only when justice has been violated is there a right to make a claim. 7. The obligations of the poor and of the workman are these: to perform wholly and faithfully the work which has been freely and equitably agreed upon, not to injure masters in their property or person, to abstain from acts of violence, even in defense of their own rights, and never to turn their demands into disturbances. 8. The obligations of justice for capitalists and masters are as follows: to pay a just wage for workmen, not to injure their lawful savings by violence, fraud, nor by open or hidden usury, to allow them freely to fulfill their religious duties, not to expose them to corrupting allurements, nor to the danger of scandal, not to entice them from a love of their family and from careful thrift, not to impose on them work unsuited to their strength, age, and sex. 9. It is an obligation of charity for the rich and for those who have means to help the poor and needy according to the precept of the gospel. This precept is of such binding force that at the day of judgment, as our Lord himself tells us, a special account of its fulfillment will be required. 10. The poor, on their part, ought not to blush for their poverty, nor disdain the charity of the rich, above all when they think of Jesus our Redeemer, who, though he could have been born in wealth, made himself poor to ennoble poverty and enrich it with incomparable merits for heaven. 11. Capitalists and workmen may themselves largely help towards the solution of the labor question by institutions formed to give timely aid to those who are in need, as also to draw together and unite the two classes. Such are societies of mutual help, numerous private insurance societies, what are called patronages for the young, and above all, working men's unions. 12. Finally, let Catholic writers, while upholding the cause of the people and of the poor, beware of using language which may inspire the masses with hatred of the upper classes of society. Let them not talk of claims and of justice when it is a question of pure charity, as has already been explained. Let them bear in mind that Christ wishes to unite all men by the mutual bond of love, which is the perfection of justice and implies the duty of working for each other's good. End of quote. Working men's unions. In the 11th of the Fundamental Rules of Catholic Action, set forth by Pope Pius X, that pontiff spoke of the necessity of unions, especially of working men's unions, he returned to the point in his encyclical letter, Singulari Quodam, addressed on September 24, 1912, to the German hierarchy. Therein he stresses the need for Catholic associations in order that a Catholic's economic life and action may be in harmony with his religious beliefs. Quote, whatever a Catholic does, even in temporal matters, he has not the right to neglect his supernatural interests. Nay, more, the prescriptions of Catholic teaching oblige him to direct everything towards the sovereign good as towards the last end of all things. All his actions, inasmuch as they are either morally good or bad, that is to say, in agreement or disagreement with natural and divine law, come under the judgment and jurisdiction of the Church. All those, therefore, who glory in the name of Catholic, whether considered individually or as members of an association, if they are mindful of their duty as Catholics, should endeavor to promote peace and charity and not hostility and jealousy between the different classes of citizens. The social question and the controversies connected with it, about the nature and length of work, about the mode of fixing wages, about strikes, are not purely economic questions capable of being settled without any reference to the authority of the Church. On the contrary, it is a most certain fact that the social question is above all a moral and religious question, and for that reason must be settled by the principles of morality and according to the dictates of religion.